Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth, he's been monitoring the latest economic numbers, inflation up again coming out, and also some interesting maneuvering taking place in the U.S. House of Representatives. We're going to talk about all of that with Scott Parkinson. Scott, good to have you here.
It's always great to be with you, Loman. Thanks for having me back.
And you are on the road in Virginia today, so we appreciate your taking time to be with us. And even on the road, you've seen what the numbers are out, inflation up again this past month. Doesn't seem like Bidenomics is really working out too well for too many people, does it?
It doesn't. Obviously, the Federal Reserve has sort of this target benchmark of 2% inflation where they feel like that's a level that the economy can handle. And we're still at almost double that. When you look at the annualized rate, it's 3.5%, and obviously far lower than where we were with peak inflation at, I think, 9.1 or 9.2% about 18 months ago. But Bidenflation is still raging. And when you think about the cost of electricity being up 30%, when you think about the cost of different food items, whether it's eggs or milk, basic necessities for the American people, it turns into a real kitchen table conversation. And we know that the higher costs underneath Joe Biden's policies are ultimately fueled by his radical policies related to the energy industry and his attack on fossil fuels, this salacious desire to move us toward lithium batteries and electric vehicles. We know that our electric grid can't even sustain all that. Think about when it gets cold in the winter up in Minnesota. You think you can plug in electric vehicles? So there's a lot of folks right now that are like, what is going on here? Why are we purposefully damaging the economy with an attack on an efficiency that has sustained our economy for so long? And when I say that, I'm specifically talking about oil and fossil fuels and even natural gas. In just this last month, the inflation ticked up 0.4%. And that's still a level that when you think about the year-over-year levels, month-over-month, the added costs, it's basically this vanishing earning power that the American people have. So I want to make sure that we've got a healthy economy. That starts with having smart energy policies, and I think it ends with getting inflation tamed through fiscal restraint in the federal budget.
And, of course, since the beginning of the Biden administration, inflation up almost 20% in just a little over 3 years. So we're going to keep an eye on those developments. Meanwhile, back in Washington, D.C., the House of Representatives in turmoil once again on a number of issues. Something called FISA has to be reauthorized. What is FISA, Scott?
Well, it's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And this is basically how our three-letter agencies do surveillance when it comes to foreign nationals, when it comes to people that are here illegally that they're monitoring, when it comes to people that are not United States citizens. And let's say that there's a couple of known terrorists talking in America, and they're talking with each other. The intelligence agencies certainly have the authorization to listen in on those conversations. But let's say that one of them hangs up and he happens to call Loman Henry and he says, hey, I need supplies to build a fence. And then Loman Henry hangs up the phone and he calls Scott Parkinson and says, hey, Scott, I need to order fence supplies from you. They're listening to those conversations, and that's American and American conversations, tens of thousands of instances that have been cited in, I think, an FBI report where they did not get a warrant to listen in on those American conversations. That's a violation of our constitutional rights. And so within the House of Representatives, there was a big, big debate over whether or not we were going to require a warrant to tap and listen and surveil American citizen conversations. And if we were going to push back against really this huge overstep of authority from our intelligence agencies, there's people that go back to the Patriot Act and they're going to say, well, we want to make sure there's not another 9/11. Well, 9/11 wasn't caused from American citizens. Let's be clear on that. So we can protect our American rights. We can protect our God-given constitutional rights and make sure that they're not surveilling American conversations without a warrant, is what I would say.
Meanwhile, we have a situation in the House of Representatives, the United States House of Representatives, where just one member can move to vacate the Speaker's chair. We saw this happen with Kevin McCarthy toward the end of last year. A leadership battle ensued that lasted for weeks. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, is threatening that action again. Scott, where does all that maneuvering stand?
Well, there have been conversations between Congresswoman Greene and the Speaker. I think he's been pretty clear that he wants to remain the Speaker and avoid the drama of another three-week process to, you know, basically find a new pope, is what I'd say, tongue-in-cheek. But Marjorie is incredibly frustrated from the last fiscal deal that ultimately provided additional money toward Ukraine, even if it's a small amount. And then there's a continued conversation about providing a larger package of tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine. She's been out there saying, if you guys pass Ukraine money, that I'm going to do a motion to vacate. And so she filed the motion to vacate a couple of weeks ago. She's still been deciding whether or not to call it up and push for a vote, but we've got a one-seat majority in the House of Representatives. That ultimately is reflective of not having much of a majority at all. And so the Republicans are obviously passing legislation like that appropriations bill with more Democrats than Republicans. That's not a good sign for Mike Johnson. And I think what Marjorie's trying to wrestle with here is, how can we actually get to unity in the conference? How can we grow our majority? How can we actually show the American people that we're fighting for them and not for the Washington, D.C. political establishment? And I think that's something that Johnson's going to have to continue to wrestle with. He has offered her sort of an olive branch in terms of being one of the impeachment managers for Mayorkas, but the Senate's just going to basically thumb their nose at that one. And then so Johnson said, okay, how about I bring in sort of a kitchen cabinet, a circle of advisors? Would you be interested in being one of those, Marjorie? That's something I think she's publicly commented on. She's certainly considering that. And then the other thing that Speaker Johnson right now is doing, is he's trying to cozy up President Trump this week. Speaker went down to Mar-a-Lago and had an election integrity event alongside him. And so it's a lot of parlor games here in Washington, D.C. I kind of sound like a broken record, I'm sure, since the middle of last summer when some of this started being talked about. But that's how Washington works or doesn't work when you've got a one-seat majority.
Well, you certainly have a lot of maneuvering going on in Washington affecting FISA and a whole wide range of other issues, which we will keep tabs on with Scott Parkinson from the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the Club.
Club for Growth is a membership organization based out of Washington, D.C. If your listeners want to learn more, the website is clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.